And now, Dick Tracy!
I had all the evidence the FBI would ever need on Colby King and his gang, and I was ready to leave Miami, hot-foot it back, and turn it over to the Fed. When Pat Patton got a brainstorm.
Look, Tracy, here we are in one of the greatest spots of the world, and we ain't had a lick of fun. We're ahead of schedule, so let's take ourselves a holiday.
48 hours of sunlight and sand listened good to me. So instead of checking out, I told the hotel manager we'd be staying over, which was all right with him, except...
I'm afraid I'll have to ask you and Mr. Patton to change your room, Mr. Tracy.
No.
We've already reserved 917 for another patron, a rather eccentric gentleman, to say the least. Would you mind moving into 919?
Not at all.
Front door.
Pat and I shifted our bags into the adjoining suite and went out to celebrate. It must have been about 11:30 when we got back to the hotel. We hadn't been in our room 5 minutes when things began to happen in 917.
Let's go!
Why, you insolent bounder, that is the wig I wore when I played King Lear.
All right,
pressing our ears against the door, we could hear Flattop's voice.
Hello.
He was talking on the phone.
This is Flattop. Let me talk to Croker King.
Great Scott, I should have known it. He's tied in with Croker King.
Croker, this is Flattop. I got an old son of yours locked up in my library here. Yeah, that's right. Dick Tracy. Yeah. What's it worth to you if I run him out?
Great heavens, quiet, Whiteman. I want to know what I'm worth.
Make it 50 grand, Croker, and it's a deal. Okay. Soon as I polish him off, I'll be around to collect. Oh, there's an old ham along with it.
Ham.
I'll take care of him, too. No extra charge.
Ham.
He's seeing you, Croker.
Ham. Tracy, did he have the appropriate to call me? Whiteman Flintheart.
Relax, Whiteman. I know it hurts, but the slugs in his automatic are gonna hurt worse.
Offshore.
An abandoned hulk, huh?
What do you think, Tracy?
Maybe Vitamin Flint Hart. isn't as crazy as he seems. Come on, Pat. We're going to take a pleasure cruise around the bay. Dawn hadn't broken yet, and we were almost on top of the rock before we saw her. Moving as tightly as we could, we pulled alongside and, grabbing a rope ladder, climbed up on deck. Pat covered the top side, and gun in hand, I went below. The captain's cabin was once wiped out, and I slipped into it. It was black as pitch in there. I was just reaching for my flashlight when I heard...
I told you to stay in your own cabin, Flintheart.
Maybe he is in his own cabin, flat top.
Wait, don't move on. Too bad I didn't fall for your newspaper gang.
Never mind that, flat top. I've got you now.
Yeah, and I've got you, copper. You can't see me no better than I can see you. If you're gonna shoot, you better make the first one count.
I knew what he meant. If I fired and missed him, the flash of my gun would tell him where I was. But the same thing went for him. We circled around in the darkness, each trying to catch a glimpse of the other, each afraid to reveal his position, neither one daring to pull the trigger. And then I remembered an old trick. I took the rubber band that Flint Hart had wrapped around his nose. Then I took a flaming kitchen match, the kind I light my pipe with, fitted it into the rubber band, stretched it back, aimed at the wall, and let go. 6 feet away it struck and flared, and then it was Flat Top's gun barking in the darkness, aiming where he thought I was. I whirled and pulled the trigger. And that was curtains for Flat Top. As for Croker King and his gang, ask the FBI what happened to them. And Vitamin Flintheart, well, his only comment was,
serves the blackguard right. It brings to my mind the classic line which I spoke in The Return of Sherlock Holmes. What should I said? It only goes to show that crime does